Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Emma Gunn Show. I am your host, Emma Gunn Wardner, and this week's guest is Nicola Lewis, also known as This Girl Can Organize. Now, there is most definitely a cult of decluttering and organizing right now, and you may even have gorged on the Marie Kondo series on Netflix, or been into Feng Shui, or have given a deeper meaning to having your undergarments folded a certain way. And that's fine and dandy, thank you very much. But it can seem a little bit beyond the realms of what's doable on a daily basis. Or maybe it just needs a bit more time than you have to give it. And actually, what I love about Nicola's approach is how easy it is to incorporate it into your real life, your everyday life. It's much more realistic and, in my opinion, helpful. And most importantly, perhaps, it's attainable and sustainable ways of decluttering, organising, and just giving yourself space to enjoy your things, your time, and your place. I caught up with Nicola in the middle of her January challenge, where each day you organise a different area of your life, be it your wardrobe or bedside table, and I wanted to find out about her top tips for getting organised. I didn't know a great deal about Nicola beyond what you see on her website and social media channels, but honestly, she was an absolute delight to get to know. Finding out how This Girl Can Organize started out in the first place was a delightful surprise and made me warm to her even more. We also talk about the link between being organized and mental health, both of us sharing our experiences on the matter, and how sometimes a bit of a tidy up can do the mind and body good. I am so pleased to have Nicola on the show and to share her tips, wisdom, and story with you. So here she is, Nicola Lewis, This Girl Can Organize on The Emma Gunn Show. Nicola Lewis, thank you for joining me on The Emma Gunn Show. I'm very excited, actually, to talk to you because your area of expertise is organization. Is that how you would describe it?
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I guess the decluttering is a massive aspect of organising. You do need to declutter before you organise. But yeah, I have been known as Mrs. Organised all my life.
Mrs. Organised all your life. And you are This Girl Can Organise on Instagram.
Social media.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the reasons that we're doing this today is because you have, this month, we're recording this in the middle of January, you've been doing this campaign and it's definitely of the moment. But what I'm really curious about is because, am I correct in thinking that This Girl Can Organise is what you do for a living?
Yes, it is, yeah.
And this is quite a new phenomenon.
It is. And it's very exciting.
So, and you've said on your website, it says you used to work in investment banking and in private aviation. So I'm curious, was it a side hustle? Was it always the thing you wanted to do? How have you taken it from where you were to here?
To now. Okay, so I used to work in investment banking. I dabbled in a bit of private aviation because I guess the investment banking was something that I just did. You know, you get stuck in a rut for earning money, great benefits, and but I wasn't really enjoying it. I was going in, dreading my Sunday evenings, thinking it's work tomorrow. And an opportunity came where I was made redundant, and I decided that I wasn't going to put myself out there in terms of agencies back in the city, and I was going to really sort of take stock and think, what am I good at? What do I really enjoy? I was made redundant in the December
2000. What age were you at this point, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, it was 2016, so I was 44. Mm. And I just felt like I had so much more to give, and I didn't want to go back into the city at all. So I spent most of January brainstorming and thinking and asking friends and family, like, seriously, what do you think I should do? And the organising used to come up quite often, but it was like events, party organising. And I just, you know what, I do like doing it, but it wasn't my forte. And then it was my husband that said, well, do you know what? You are shit hot around the house, organising, shizzle,
stay
everywhere.
Stay with him.
He's a good boy. He's a good boy. And I just started looking into that. And then I discovered that in America, it's like big business. Mm. And I discovered one particular account called The Home Edit, who I absolutely adore. They've been absolute mentors for me, really, because all they showed was humour and the fact that you can have fun organising, which is what I'm all about. I'm a massive lover of life. Mm. So I just wanted to break, I guess, the stereotypical kind of organiser. And I guess there's all different types of organisers, like there are chefs out there, you know, and I embrace them all because I really feel like they do help everyone. So I started off that journey early 2017.
So it's actually like, it's still pretty new.
It is so new. The first year was really difficult because I kind of set up the old-fashioned way, website, making leaflets. I didn't even think about social media. And I was kind of trying my best to convince people that this is a really good thing because I could see the value in the job. But I guess I was up against the people that, you know, the British public don't like asking for help, one. You know, that's a really big one. Secondly, a lot of people were thinking, well, is that what a cleaner does? And I guess some cleaners or housekeepers would do this role, but I could see it from a bigger perspective. And I guess I had a talent that maybe, like a cleaner has a talent, you know, I don't enjoy cleaning, but I do enjoy organising. Mm. So I do see them slightly different.
Yeah, absolutely. You said something really interesting there that I really want to sort of unpick. You said you're a lover of life. And me personally, regular listeners of this podcast will know part of 26 Habits, which was the every 2 weeks I'd make or break a habit throughout 2018. I did a wardrobe clear out.
Yeah.
And it was the, you know, get everything out, clean the wardrobe, then look at what you actually wear. And it ended up being this really actually quite unexpectedly emotional experience of realizing the clothes I was hanging on to.
Yeah.
The clothes I was bullying myself with.
Yeah.
And I decided to just keep the things that I wore, which is basically jeans, black, grey, white tops.
But that's cool.
Yeah.
Because you know what you like. And I think also that comes a lot with age as well. I found that I wear similar items. I tend to have more dresses than I do skirts. I love wearing them both, but I tend to always buy a dress if I'm out shopping. We do hold on to items, and it's only until you declutter that you can see what you're not wearing, or, you know, what you've bought in the sales and thought, I'm actually going to lose weight and get into that dress and then completely forget about it. And it's in that wardrobe, but you've spent money and you don't want to give it away because you see it's a waste of money. But what I tell my clients always is that you've let that money go from the moment you've bought it. You know, you're not going to get it back unless you go to resell it. You know, that takes time and patience to do that. And I feel like we're all in really busy lives. So I think it's really important that you know what you like and what suits you. And you should have a wardrobe completely full of things that you love and that make you smile. And every time you look in it, it should be, oh, can't wait to wear this, this and this, instead of thinking, you know, crap, I don't know what to wear today. And then cause yourself stress unnecessarily.
And that's what the wardrobe edit did for me, in that I, sorry listeners, we're both a bit froggy throated. Is that the right way of
it? It is, yeah.
So if you hear coughing. It both of us are recovering from the dreaded lurgy. I now, when I open my wardrobe in the morning, or my morning is much easier and I feel much more chilled out in the morning, because I just know that there is a combination in there
Definitely.
That is going to work.
And you'll also find you'll be more, I call it, powerful in your day.
Oh.
Because if you think about it, you know, if you get up in the morning, like for example, this morning I got up, went to the bathroom, came back in, I make the bed straight away.
Yes.
It's one of the first tasks I do of the day. Makes me feel great because whilst you're getting ready, you're looking over at something that you've already achieved and it looks nice. And then I then go through my wardrobe. I had no idea. Sometimes I plan my clothes the night before, but I'd recently done my wardrobe yesterday. So I was like excited to look through it and think, what am I going to wear today? And that's a really amazing feeling. And it gives you so much power in your day, in your stride.
Yeah.
That, it's really good.
So were you always the kid at school who had very organised folders and
colour-coded notes?
That
was down to
notes?
My mum. Yeah, it's all come from my mum and my gran, actually. So my nan was of a generation of make, do and mend, and I spent quite a lot of weekends at hers learning all sorts and watching her kind of manage a large family. You know, had lots of cousins. And, you know, she'd never really throw things out. She'd always go to upcycle various things, and I always found it fascinating. My mum, you know, from, as I say, as long as I can remember, is the queen of organisation in my eyes. You know, we've had a beautiful childhood, and but we had to have structure. Both my parents worked whilst I was growing up.
Yeah.
I grew up in East London. And, you know, my dad would always drop us off to school. My mum would be there to pick us up. And in the meantime, they're working. So there was always, I guess, structure from the early stages. And my mum always, you know, I always remember going to W.H. Smith to get my new pens and folders all the time.
That.
I know. I just don't feel people do that enough now, do you think?
I think we do it all the time, whereas it used to be a September thing.
A September thing, yeah.
Like just before school. But now you can just go to, what is it called, Wiggle or something?
Smiggle. Oh, that's just
it.
Too intense for me. I just, I guess Paper Chase is probably one of my faves.
Yeah.
I love going in there.
Yeah. I just think we do it all the time now. But yeah, it used to be that beginning of term, new colouring pencils, new protractor.
She still does it now. She gives them all, like, I don't know where she finds them, but she gets them all for my kids. Do you remember the Beryl pens? Like, I used to have the red pen and it had the black edging. I thought it was so retro.
Oh, yeah.
She still gets them. I have no idea where from. But, yeah, so it's kind of passing down to them. But I just think it's a really good skill set. I really feel like it was something me and my sister learned from an early age that's taken us both. You know, we use it both in our homes.
Yeah. And you said that you used to use it in your previous jobs, and I guess being very organised meant that...
Yeah. Well, I used to work on trading floors, so you have to be mega organised. You have to have a thick skin too. But, yeah, dealing with stress and noise and being, you know, having to drop everything at a moment, you know, you've got to be very organised.
Yeah.
That situation. So yeah, I suppose I never really saw it, I guess, because I was just busy doing the job. It's only until I stepped away that I realized that, you know, I need to do something that I love, really.
What was it about stepping away that you think made turned it into what it's become? Because it's very hard to be able to take a step out. And actually, I've been in a similar situation. Voluntary redundancy for me was like a massive, it gave me the mental space to be able to assess what I wanted to do next.
I think that was mainly it, if I'm honest with you. I did struggle with mental illness through my career in the city. But I think also I wanted something where I could be more flexible at home. I felt like I wasn't seeing the kids enough. I felt like I wasn't giving me time enough, you know, and I think it's so important that you should do what you love rather than thinking about the dollar, you know. So it was a big, big risk. But that's, anyone who knows me knows that I'm quite, again, it falls into the love of life. I'm all for it. I just think I knew, I kind of had that feeling that I knew it was going to be good. Mm. And that's why I just went for it, really.
Mm. And in terms of, I mean, you alluded to the fact that there were mental health issues when you were in the workplace. Mm. Do you now feel as though doing what you love means that you're on top of that as well?
Massively. Yeah, definitely therapy.
Yeah.
It must have been. It must have been. Because the first year of doing This Girl Can Organise, I probably earned more when I was 16 years old. I didn't earn any money, yeah. And I've gone from a massive corporate salary, amazing benefits, to nothing. But I was happy, like, just beyond happy, really. Mm. And what was driving me was doing what I was doing, researching, practicing what I was preaching. Mm. And then I started getting the clients, and I could show the before and afters. Mm. And that's when I really realised that, you know, wow, I love doing this job. Mm. I am a people person too. You know, I naturally gravitate to them. And it's that whole thing I talked about once about staring, that I actually think staring's cool.
You're going to have because to elaborate.
Because I think, obviously in the right context, but I just think, you know, sometimes you're connected to someone. Mm. You know, if you stare naturally, I don't stare at everyone, but sometimes if you glance, you're fascinated by someone, yeah. And there is a reason for it. I don't know what.
Yeah.
I guess that's part of me. I'm always that person, you know, that's like, hi, you're right. And wants to know or wants to get to know you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think going back to the year of trying to kind of convince and the job to people and using it to my own advantage mentally was an incredible sort of self-help time for me, really. Mm. Made me digest everything and what I really wanted.
I find it really interesting because it's something that I hear time and time again from people, yeah. That being able to take that time away and actually, I mean, I don't know, maybe I don't want to put words into your mouth, but were you a people pleaser?
Possibly.
Had you maybe not pleased yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Mm. You hit the nail in one. Mm. I think that most of us are like that, though, when we're in a corporate world,
mm.
because we've got so many, I guess, you know, management, senior management. You've got so many people looking down on the Indians, you know, so many chiefs that you're constantly trying to please. You know, you've got your referrals, you've got your mid-year reviews, and all of those were positive, but also you did tremble. I personally did fear them as well, because I used to think, what are they going to say?
Exactly. Even if I've put my best in, if ever I had an appraisal, I would always fear the worst, even though, because I never really checked in with myself and was like, you've done a good job. You've done your best. And if they don't see that, maybe this isn't the right place for you.
Definitely. I think you've hit the nail on the head with that, because that's exactly how I felt. And I felt like I was just sort of, it was Groundhog Day pretty much all the time. And don't get me wrong, I had good times, you know, but I really enjoyed the social aspect. But there were quite a lot of lunches that I'd go off walking around on my own, and I'd go in shops and buy things because, you know, maybe I wasn't happy and I could.
Oh, that lunchtime buy when you just need a hit.
Yeah, it's the best.
And it's usually a clutch bag or jewellery because
or
they
always
fit. Space
NK, yeah. I mean, I was always in Space NK all the time.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, love it.
So you said you started getting clients, and you mentioned earlier you started with a website and you started with leaflets. Mm-hmm. So how did clients start coming in? How did you generate work?
So the clients started coming really from word of mouth, actually. I think my first client was a friend's sister, and she lived on the other side of London and she needed some help. So I think right in the early days I had to, you know, I was doing everything at half price. I had my set prices, but I just was doing it as incentives for people to just sort of prove a point, I suppose. But I knew that I would get the content.
Mm.
So, so that was what I was doing. I was also going to quite a lot of events. So mothers' meetings in town, interacting with other influencers, doing my best really. But I kind of felt the first stage was, you know, I would follow people, and then I'd see people follow me, and then they'd unfollow. And I was like, what is that all about? I couldn't work it out.
So I don't mean to laugh, but it's just so true, isn't it?
And so that was my introduction to Instagram. And I didn't like it, if I'm honest, at first. I just thought, well, what are you all doing? Why are you doing that? So I stepped away from Instagram a bit and then focused more on the business.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, contacting companies that I thought would benefit, you know, things like estate agents, helping people, you know, that couldn't sell their homes for me to go in there. So I started doing that. I did a couple of jobs for a couple of estate agents locally, and that really worked.
That's super smart.
Well, I kind of felt like it was that, or I'd had to go back up in the city and temp because I wasn't earning any money. And, you know, I had everyone behind me, but at the same time, I just had to really think clever. So so that started. That was really good. And then I started to go back onto Instagram probably about October, November 17.
Not that long ago, like 4 or 5 months?
No.
Wow.
And that was interesting because I just thought, right, what do I need to do here? And something came up, it was like a little bit of a light bulb moment, and I thought, I'm going to do a declutter challenge, and that way I can show people, motivate people through January, because I know January is a particularly tough month. And that's it, and it went bananas. So I started off the year, I think, with 800 followers, January 18. And ended up last year, at December, with 55,000 followers.
Also, the eagle-eyed among you will know that I said 3 or 4 months ago, when I obviously mean a year and 3 or 4 months.
Yeah. So, and that last year, when I look back, when I did actually stop and reflect on that year, I was just a bit blown away because I know I've been working and working and working. And when I'm not at clients' houses, I'm on, you know, developed a blog, started writing more, thinking up ideas, planning my vision board. You know, I started to get really excited about the business. And which in turn, This Girl Can Organise really is two businesses now. It's, you know, my day-to-day business of going to clients, and then social media is completely another business.
Well, and I often, I guess, because my career has been in magazines and journalism, Instagram to me was very natural. It's, you know, pictures and captions, you know, I'm quite good at doing that.
Yeah.
and I often completely forget what it must be like. And so for you saying you started on Instagram and you dipped your toe in and didn't like it, I can completely see that. It can be, as much as it can be once it embraces you, it can be a very nice place where there's lots of interaction and you get lots of positive feedback, and it can be motivating.
Definitely.
And I definitely find my followers incredibly motivating when they comment and stuff like that. But if actually you find it not like that, if you find it unfriendly and cold, it can be really isolating and it can be really demotivating.
Definitely. I didn't feel demotivated by it. I just felt like, whoa, what is this? and just kind of, as you said, dipped my toes in and out. And then all of a sudden, when I realised that I'm in control of this page, and actually I don't mind talking to the camera. In fact, I like it.
You're
I don't
really
mind being Shirley Valentine talking to the wall, you know, because it's my time. And I guess it's also, again, going back on the therapy, you know, it's quite lonely working for yourself. Or if you're a stay-at-home mum. So use it. Use it to your advantage and have fun. You know, who cares? Just have fun. I think when we gain a little bit of confidence in ourselves, we can achieve such good things.
Well, that was exactly my next train of thought was, I wonder how it feels having taken control of your life, deciding that this is what you want to do, and it's doing well, and you're making money.
Yeah.
Because in my own life, having having always had a boss and now being self-employed, when you start to realise, actually, this roof is over my head because of me, not because of anyone else.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
It's an amazing, like, it's a fist bump moment.
It really was. I mean, I bought a car just before Christmas Eve, all down to me saving. All year, it was on my vision board. I can't tell you, like, even now, I still look at it and I'm so chuffed. I respect it so much, more than any of the other cars previously, because I've gone through a complete journey of, you know, doing and earning money, but not really loving it, having that all stripped away, completely stripped away, and then earning my own money, doing something that I love. And to a degree, I'm still running with it. I don't really sort of take stock of what's actually happening. Like, now, this is all crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm really loving the experience. And it's, I knew I wanted to do something to help people, because for me, I know that when I was necessarily at home or doing my job or, you know, sitting on the train, it could be quite lonely. And I used to sit there, you know, apart from I used to love writing lists and stuff, but I would sit on Facebook and look at other people's lives or play Tetris or do whatever, wasting time. And like, now I don't have time for that. Like, it's all about excitement and planning and what we're doing next. And I've got a real thirst for what I love. And yeah, I think, you know, some people will say, oh, you've really hit. I remember right at the beginning, people were saying, oh my gosh, you've really got like a niche market here. And I never saw it like that at all. I just thought, well, no, this is something I love doing. I didn't even envisage it would go nuts like it has done. And now there's, you know, a few others out there doing the same. That, yeah, it is what it is. But I think it's all good.
I think so too. And I also think, it is something that people are talking about a lot at the moment. There's a lot more conversations about there with regard to things like mental health and decluttering and being organised and taking control sort of all seem to run hand in hand with each other.
Definitely. And being tidy, you know, I know, you know, Marie Kondo is out there with her new Netflix. I remember getting her book actually last year, because I do have a collection of organising books that I've read. And it's funny because they are all slightly different. Everyone's got their own method. And I think it's important that what you find works for you. But I do agree with some of the things that she talks about. And I don't agree with some of the other things that she doesn't, you know, because I think we're all in a busy lifestyle. I don't have half a day to spend folding my items in a cupboard. Yet it does work. The whole method works. I roll. I get my clothes and roll them, and I do the same in my suitcase. It's quick, easy, and I've got two kids and a husband, so it all needs to happen quickly for me. But I guess it just depends on your lifestyle, and I think who, you know, that she can probably help quite a lot of people and inspire them, and then they can kind of figure it out and do it their own way, which I think is perfect.
I always think it's a bit like last year when I was doing 26 Habits and I did journaling, I found this research that said that if you sit in a lecture or a lesson, for example, and you write down verbatim what the teacher, lecturer, etc. says to you, which is what I always used to do, then it doesn't go in the same way as if you interpret it and put it into your own words.
Yeah, true.
And it made sense as to why I did so terribly at school and university. Because I was taking taking dictation. I wasn't absorbing the information and using my brain.
Interesting.
And so I think about that with things like Marie Kondo. It's like, take from it what you will, interpret what you will.
Well, I think what was interesting, I've only watched one of the episodes on Netflix, and what I found particularly interesting was, obviously this is all for TV, so I understand, but, you know, she showed the concept of emptying, thanking particular items, and then starting to fold.
Right.
And then she left the building. Now, if I was to do that to any one of my clients, I think that they would have had a complete and utter nervous breakdown. Because can you imagine looking at a room full of clothes on a bed, and then the person that's there that's meant to help you then goes, and you're like, okay. It's a bit like school, isn't it? Like the teacher shows you how to do and then you're like, off you go, get on with it, which is a certain, that's fine. You know, you need to sort of develop your own way of doing things. But I still feel like you need someone there coaching you, saying it's all right, because it is such an overwhelming task. And I've experienced all kinds of emotions with clients, some happy, some deeply sad, overwhelming, can't cope. I've had to walk out of the room and chill out for 30 minutes because it's memories, it's experiences, it's sentimental items. So I personally didn't agree with that. I felt like she should have stayed there with them and helping them go through these sections right through to the end instead of coming back and seeing the, oh, what have you done sort of thing. And also it's interesting to see with that first that first particular episode that I could tell within probably 5 minutes that this person had lost identity. And I sort of said it and my husband was like, wow, you can tell that. And I was like, yeah, I can. And it was really easy for me to associate because I could compare it to some of the clients that I've worked with. So basically this particular sort of story, case study, was the couple had had two children. She had a busy career before children. Now she was a part-time working mum and also looking after two young, small kids. The house was overwhelming her, and it's kind of doing three jobs, house, work, kids. And the husband was then saying, oh, you know, the house is a mess and, you know, it's this, that and the other. So she's now feeling a bit crap, to be honest. And I've had quite a few clients like that, where I've sort of said, right, well, what you need to do now is all about planning, and I'm going to be here to help you and go through this. And what it's done, it's not about just for the moment. It's about future-proofing and helping them understand what they can bring back into their home, helping them understand what's important, managing their time during the week. And that's organising in my head. So, you know, prepping on a Sunday. If something overwhelms you, do small steps. You know, do one small section. You'll feel so much better after you've just done that one section. It will let you go, it'll label you, sorry, to go on to do a bigger task and think, I can do this, this is fine. But, you know, we all know how hard it is to do things around kids. It's so impossible. And I know that when my mum and dad have had the children overnight and they're like, oh, do you want us to drop them off before lunch, or we can take them out? I'm like, yeah, you can take them out, it's fine. I love my children, but you know what, that time, that just an hour to myself, wow, I can get so much done. And I'm pretty sure there's loads of mums out there that will agree that it's the same thing. So I think really they should have worked together more, I think, on that first episode, and she should have explained, and the two of them, about giving each other a bit of time. Like he could say, oh, look, I'll take the kids for a bike ride on a Saturday morning for an hour and you can get stuff done.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you alphabetize your underwear if everything else is still not.
No, because it's going to, she's not going to want to do it. She's not going to, she's not got the time at the moment to look after her house, let alone fold clothes and thank them. So, yeah, it's a tricky one. I just think, people do want more support. They do want more coaching.
And also I think women are by nature nurturers. We'll also take on a huge amount, and we're copers, we're managers, we'll make it work. And no one tells you how to manage a home, children, and a job.
Yeah, all in one hit. I know, it's so overwhelming.
And it's a huge amount. And I think there's that saying, talked about it on the podcast before with Farah Store about, you know, you can have it all. Actually, I'm not suggesting being organised can allow you to have it all, but it can potentially make it
a little bit easier. Definitely.
And from what you're saying.
I think so. I mean, I just track back to when life was crazy and I was working 5 days a week in the office at seven, home, by six or seven, collecting children from, you know, my parents or childminder, coming home, and I'd walk in and the house would be tidy because no one's been there. And then all it was bath bottle or bath milk bed.
Mm.
And then that was a bit odd because I just felt like I've not really had much time with the kids, but they're in bed and it's quiet. And then it would be like make dinner, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, tidy up. And I always say put the dishwasher on, you know, before you go to bed.
Yeah.
And then I'd like to leave downstairs how I would like to see it first thing in the morning.
Yes, yes, agreed.
So it makes sense. So actually, when I was working, things were on top of, because I wasn't really at home.
Mm.
It's harder when you are at home with children. And that's when I found it really difficult because it's about structured playtime. It's about, you know, keeping them happy, you doing jobs around the house, it's harder.
How do you incorporate structure? Because I think there's a misconception, although you can tell me whether it is a misconception or not, that structure equals a loss of fun. I don't know if you've...
No.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Sometimes people are like, oh my God, just relax.
Yeah, but you can. Mm. Like, I'm really relaxed. I'm really chilled. But I do like structure. And when structure isn't in place, I feel like... what's the feeling? I call it my wobble.
Mm.
Yeah, it does make me wobble because I just think, oh, well, where is that? You know, at the moment, the kids have been bought, and I got bought loads of gift sets at Christmas, beauty products, this, that, the other. And I've got a linen cupboard, which is also a toiletry cupboard. And it's all got containers and it's all fabulous. Well, at the moment, I opened it this morning and I was like, what has happened in here? Because there is all, you know, boxes of beauty products. So everyone's put them in there, but they just need to come out of the boxes, go into the containers, because it makes life easier and there is structure. So there's a box for hair products. There's a box for shower and bath. There's a box for body lotions and deodorants and things. When that's all mixed up, that gives me, anxiety, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, structure is, I think it's really important. And, you know, I guess that is the one thing I'm up against is people kind of go, oh, yeah, because it's always been kind of not cool, but, yeah, it probably is cool to be untidy. You know, like, oh, sod it, leave it. Yeah, that's my room space, la, la, la.
You never see the opening of a Hollywood movie with the protagonist tidying up. You see them kind of leaving toast in the mouth, coffee in their hand. Like, chaos looks sexy.
It does. And it really does. And I'm here to sort of turn that around. I really do. I really feel like I'm going to change people's perspective. I can't talk at the moment.
No, you can. Yeah. Perspective. I know exactly what you're saying.
It's a mixture of a cough and concentration.
Do you need a Strepsil? I have Strepsils.
If you do, I would love one.
Right. Talk about making organisation sexy while I find you a Strepsil, my darling.
Yeah, so I think that would be cool. I do. And I, you know, I'm up against that. I know I am. It makes me laugh as well. I don't take offence at all to anyone because it's how you want to live, you know. Thank you.
Other cough sweets are available.
So I think it's all about how you live your life. And you don't have to follow the rules of an organiser completely. Just take little snippets that you think, right, that's going to work. That's definitely going to work for me.
Yeah.
And listen. So that's one of my... I think a really good skill set of mine is listening to my clients, because I could just walk into every client and go, right, this is what you need to do, bang, 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 and they'd be like, okay, and then walk out and it not work. So I have to listen to about their lifestyle. Like, do you, for example, a kitchen, do you like to cook? Do you like to convenience cook? Do you use spices? Do you get HelloFresh? Do you, you know, all of these things. Every kitchen is so different. It's one of my favourite rooms to organise.
Oh, why?
I don't know. I think it's because it is quite complex.
Yeah.
And I think because kitchens are, when we go into buy kitchen, we're fascinated with the look of a kitchen and the work surface.
Yeah.
And it has to be, you know, marble or da 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 da. And then it goes in and we're like, oh, look at the kitchen. And then after a couple of months, you know, you're like, there's shit everywhere. Because no one's thought about inside the kitchen.
The function, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a bit like a person sometimes, you know, looking great on the outside, but how is it on in the inside? And I feel like kitchen companies, you know, I know that when we looked at our kitchen, which we need to get a new one, 10 years ago. And I was like, yeah, I would really like this storage system. Mm. And they were like, yeah, well, that's £1,000. I was like, what? Because it's expensive. I don't understand why it needs to be expensive. But anyway, there is kitchen designs are changing, and I'm, I guess, at the forefront of seeing how to work around all different types. Mm. You know, you've got your corner cupboards, you've got your junk drawers, you've got the complex under the sink cupboard, which everyone tries to cram as many things as possible in there. It's really funny, but I love it. And then when we organise cupboards, every client says the same thing. They're like, why did I have all this stuff?
Yeah.
I don't even use it. And I think it's because you go shopping, you get so overwhelmed in a supermarket mm-hmm. with the 3 for 2s. You need to also remind yourself that your house is a home and not a shop or a storage container. Mm-hmm. And it's about using the things that you want to use, mm. you know? So seeing items, putting cans on tiered shelves instead of thinking, well, what is at the back of that shelf? Mm. Because I can see it's 6 cans deep, but I have no idea. And then when you go to finally pull it all out, it's sort of expired in 2014. Mm-hmm. And there's no wonder why. So you've got to open your cupboards and be able to see everything inside. Containers, I guess it's probably the room full of containers, and that's probably why I love it.
And yeah, it's that I have a drawer full entirely of Tupperware, because it's the it's the intention of organization. That's what Tupperware is.
Yeah.
If it was a movie.
Do you use it like
I for do food?
Is it when leftover foods, or is it for packed lunches, or what is it used for?
Well, I have a Tupperware drawer, and I have some Tupperware in my cupboard. The cupboard Tupperware is for packed lunches. I never ever use them because they're too bulky.
Yeah. And well, there you go. So there you go. You can get rid of them straight away. You've just said it.
Yeah, exactly. It's too bulky, and also I'm not 6.
There you go. So you can donate it. See, I pick it up so quickly, and it's all about listening to how your lifestyle is. So you could remove that from that particular drawer and then put something in there from that's crammed in another cupboard and be able to see it and go, oh, there's a reason I bought that.
Yeah.
And give it its home. Everything in its place. Yeah. That's what my nan used to always say.
Yeah.
And it's just about making it work, really.
I really want to ask you about the distinction between messy and disorganized.
Okay.
Because when I was depressed, mm-hmm. my home did not look great.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that reluctantly, because obviously I don't want people to think that I was some disgusting slob. But it had to do with self-care and what's the point? Oh, I'll iron that later. Oh, that can just sit there. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, that is completely mirroring what's going on in your head.
Mm.
So what you're seeing and what's around you will definitely mirror what's inside your head. Anything complex is just not going to happen.
Mm.
It's all got to be kind of calm and smooth. So actually dealing with mess is quite tricky if you are suffering with depression. However, it will help to maybe ask a friend to come over and say, you know, I'm sick of looking at this pile over here. Would you mind helping me? It's a big ask, I know. But one thing I always introduce, and this is something I started right from the beginning, is music.
Oh.
Music takes you somewhere that I don't know. It, for me, I can't go, you know, a day without listening to music. Takes me to my happy place, and that's something that you need to have, I think, when you are dealing with mess.
Mm.
So let's take it back and rewind and go back to that scenario. If there's a particular music that you love or an artist that you could put on, whack that on the music. Straight away you're thinking, oh, I love this song for whatever reason. And then write a list of what you want to do, so then you can see it on paper.
Mm.
And then it's small steps. So it's then practically ticking off small achievable tasks.
Mm.
And I've always said that one tick is better than no tick.
Yes, yeah.
And it will make you feel like you've achieved something. Mm. And then you will not be self-doubting yourself. You'll be looking at that pad and go, I've done that, that and that. Mm. Oh my gosh. And feel good.
Mm.
And then it's all about small steps. So the next day, you might not want to do anything, but then put on the music or burn a candle.
Mm.
I don't know. I'm not trained at all in kind of any kind of mental health advice.
Mm.
But in terms of dealing with, you know, the clients that I have, that seems to work.
Mm.
And it's worked for me.
Yeah.
It definitely works for me. My husband works away quite a lot, and I find it really difficult managing a home, work and children. And so there are moments that I go to kind of dip, and when that happens, I have to put music on. It takes me somewhere, and it's incredible.
Mm.
And so that's why I do like the lip syncing on my on my page. And I, it's just like, again, it's Shirley Valentine lip syncing around to Madonna or whatever it may be. And I just, it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And then it stops, it's gone. Yeah. And then I don't realise, because that's what I think is funny.
Mm.
And then I'll look at Instagram maybe an hour later, and there's like DMs like of people cracking up,
yeah,
saying, you make me laugh, you make me smile. And I feel like saying, well, do it yourself. Like, you can do it yourself. It's such a good feeling.
Yeah.
And I always sing with a pretend mic as well. I love it. So it's about finding who your inner, like, who is it? Who's your, like,
who's Beyonce, your inner diva?
Yes. Beyonce's Sasha Fierce. I don't know. I need to find who she is.
I do love a lip sync. I also do love singing. And when I bought my microphones for the podcast, there may have been some inappropriate usage.
I would have loved that.
I've been using deodorant cans my whole life.
That's
and then
it.
I had a microphone. Brilliant. I was like, bring it.
It is bring it on, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. So that's kind of that situation. That's how I would definitely... Well, that's how I do approach it, so...
Mm. So is there a difference between being messy and being disorganised, or are they, do they both amount to the same thing?
I would say that they do amount to the same thing, personally, myself, because mess is a disorganised area of items that you don't know where they belong.
Mm.
That's quite frankly it. Mm. All those items, all they need to do is to go into... their home, and that is it. And every item has a home in its house, in a home, in a home, in a home. Every belonging has a home, basically, in your house.
I think, I don't know if this has been communicated to you from clients, but I wonder whether sometimes people are reluctant to edit and actually get rid of things because they feel that they need things, and that if they get rid of things, the first thing they'll think the morning after they get rid of them is, oh, I wish I hadn't got rid of that.
I think that's a human thing. Mm. You know, I feel like it. You know, I donated quite a lot of kids, they hardly use Disney Cup beakers that we'd got from Dancing on Ice. They don't use them no more. You know, my kids are 10 and 15 and they don't want them no more. We did have a lot of fun using them for ice creams and this, that, the other, but now they don't choose to. I don't need them in my cupboard. So now they can go and someone else will enjoy them.
Mm.
But it did feel sad. It was like saying goodbye to that memory. Mm. What I do say to people who find it particularly hard is take a picture of them. Take a picture of the items. Mm. I mean, I've used a beaker here, but I mean, it could be anything really. It could be an ornament, a frame or whatever, that someone gave it to you, don't really use it no more. You've kind of don't really like it.
Mm.
But you've got you want a memory of it. Take a picture of it. We're in this digital world now. You can set up folders on your phone and put memories and put them in there.
This is very, very true.
Mm.
And that also, does photography help, like before and afters and also the during process? Would you recommend that to people?
Yeah, definitely. I think people should do it for themselves.
Mm.
The before picture and then afterwards, just to see what they've achieved.
Mm.
You know, someone said to me, oh my gosh, you're like the queen of before and afters. But really, all it is me just doing my job. Mm-hmm. And I can see what that space is going to turn out like. I can already, you know, because the client's already told me what's overwhelming them, what they're not using. So by extracting the things they're not using and they don't like, I'm giving them space to see the things they do like and they are going to use. And it's fascinating that I can see that. But then some clients get that bug and they're like, oh, guess what I did yesterday? You know, they can't stop. And it's brilliant. So I feel like I'm teaching and coaching at the same time.
Yeah, which is really, it's a very impactful thing because it's the space that people live in every single day.
Yeah.
And you are helping them have a better experience with it.
And it's quite interesting because in my own home, is organised, there's structure, but it's not how, it's something, I don't really enjoy doing my own home. Whereas if I go to a client or someone else's, it's like a fresh canvas. I'm like, ooh. But yeah, I guess with my own home, it's I don't know what that association is. I don't understand why I don't. It is tidy and organised. And I have a fabulous husband who helps as well. But yeah, I don't get the same buzz, I should say, from doing it at home that I do for someone else.
Well, there's a physical conversation that you have in terms of the organisation and the changing how things look and feel.
Yeah.
But there's also the invisible, non-tangible part of it, which is the what are you trying to fix by organising?
Definitely.
Is it a calmer state of mind? Is it a calmer house? Is it a quieter life? Is it a longer day? Like, what could it be?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, like, for our house, it's always been a very calm, quite chilled house. And then I have had, like, new friends, but school mums that come in and they're like, wow, it's like a showroom. And I don't know how to take that sometimes. I've kind of thought, oh, I don't want them to think I'm, you know, not fun. Because I am.
House proud.
Yeah.
I remember one of my friends at school, her mum was very house proud. And that's still, that those two words make me
But I am
scared.
That person who, if I have a party, that anyone that comes in, I just want them all to have fun. You know, I don't care if you put the cup in the wrong place or whatever. We're there to have fun and make a memory.
That's a really good point, actually, because cleanliness and being organised, I guess,
because it can all go back really quickly the next day.
But through media, through the things that we consume, I guess we associate people like Monica from Friends, who is neurotic and has OCD.
Yeah.
But that being organised doesn't mean you have OCD, does
it? No, not at all. OCD is another subject altogether, really. It's not really something I tend to use the word because it is a mental illness as well. But I think with Monica, it's very funny, actually. A lot of people can relate to that cupboard that she had. And, you know, a lot of my clients, I've gone into homes where I've walked in, I'm like, wow, in my head, thinking, what have I got to do here? It looks incredible. And then they open cupboards and they're like, help, help me, please. And it's something they don't enjoy, something they don't want to do. And so that's why I'm there. And it's brilliant. And they're like, wow, that makes so much sense now. I can see this is where all this belongs. I was never using any of that crap that was in there. Off it goes. And this is another really, really important thing that I do talk about, is not just chucking everything in the bin and so it goes to landfill. It's a really important factor that we are all mindful that we can try and donate or reuse some of these items. You know, even if it's giving it to a friend, a relative that you think, oh, they'll like that, make that time to give it to them, to any shelters. Charity shops, I love donating to charity shops. But unfortunately, I think every client I speak to as well, I go into a charity shop. I love thrifting. I love vintage. And so I will, when I've got the time, we'll pop into one. Everyone will donate to it, but will they shop in it? I don't know, because I ask so many people and go, well, do you shop in a charity shop? And they're like, no, we donate though. And I can see now why charity shops are going, hold on, we've got so much stuff here.
Right.
You know, it's about getting more people into charity shops. So that's something I'm going to empower this year. And also, I think people want to donate items and see it making a difference to someone, you know, because say, for example, I've got this cup. It's such a nice cup, but I've got so many and I it's taking more room inside my kitchen, but I want it to benefit someone. I don't want it just to sit on a shelf in a charity shop. So it's thinking about other places that you could donate that to. So like women's shelters, you know, homeless shelters, thinking, you know, outside the box a little.
Yeah.
The same with toys. I get asked this all the time. Like, I've just cleared out the kids' bedrooms. I've got all these toys. What can I do with them? Again, charity shops you can take them to, but most importantly, like hospitals, children wards, absolutely love. Plastic toys, not soft. Soft toys can be donated to animal shelters. They absolutely love them. Yeah, so it's just having a little Google of just going, where can I donate?
Yeah, when I did the declutter, it was try and sell, donate, and only throw away if it is of no use to man or beast.
Well, there is always the three piles for me. Yeah, so it's donate, sell, and keep. And the donation, I think, needs to increase. That's another sort of term. I think we all need to. If we can be advised of where we can sort of take things. I only learnt this week about Lush and Mac. I didn't know at all that you can take six old Mac lipsticks to a counter and they recycle them and they give you a free lipstick. Did you know that?
Let's put that in the show notes. Do love some Mac.
And the same for Lush. You can take pots, you know, their pots, the shower gels and the black pots and everything, and you can take them, they give you a face mask. So it's really good. It's sort of making you think, oh, well, I'll take that back because I know I'll get something in return and I might shop in there again. It's good.
Yeah, you're right. There, we'll put any links in the show notes as well to any resources, both in the UK, US, Australia, everywhere that we have listeners. which area of people's lives do you feel... based on working with clients, is the can sometimes be the most challenging area to organise?
I think it's the wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think people...
for men and women?
Yeah. I've only had a couple of men clients.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been particularly good, actually. It's just been more about structure for them in their living space that I've had to do, but their wardrobes were fine. I think it's giving yourself, it's the time, I think you kind of know it's going to, you're going to look at this task and think, wow, how long is this going to take? And you then start feeling a bit guilty of what you've bought. And then you start seeing a pattern of how many, the same jumpers you've got. And it tends to be a mountain. When you just pull out one section of a wardrobe and put it on your bed, it's quite shocking. Look at it all and think, oh. And it's quite interesting as well. It's all different generations. I've been working for quite a few clients who have teenage daughters, and they will wear items once. It will go on social media or Snapchat, Snapchat or Instagram, and then they won't wear it again. No. And they're like,
Colour me shocked.
I know. So this is kind of like a new breed of from the fast fashion, and this is what I'm getting to see now, which is really, really upsetting.
That is really upsetting.
So I'm sitting there not only going through their wardrobe, but also now I'm educating them about, you know what, you can wear it with so many different styles and you can wear it with this. And does it really matter that they've seen you in that dress if you love it?
You're not Beyonce.
I know. But what they all want, I don't know, is this something, the power of the Kardashians with the big walk-in wardrobes, you know, the look, the fact that their makeup and their fashion changes all the time.
Well, when we were growing up, we didn't see what rich people's wardrobes looked like.
Not really. We only had Dallas, didn't we, and Dynasty, really, to look up at. And it wasn't really our age.
And even then, you knew it was an element of fantasy.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think Clueless was the first time I saw a walk-in wardrobe.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually.
And you just thought, well, that's just unreal and ridiculous. And it's never, you know, it was so far removed. But yeah, I mean, we spent so much time in people's wardrobes. It's very sad.
Yeah, it is. So it's quite good that the parents can see that. And also it's something about a mother and a daughter doing something together is quite at that age is quite difficult. Mm. I have a 15-year-old. I know exactly what it's like. You know, sometimes it's walking on eggshells and the next minute it's hormonal mess. and it's all, you know, all okay and cuddles. So asking them to actually do something like, have you looked through your wardrobe recently? It'd be like, you know. So this was really, it's really interesting. So I do feel like it would be good to for someone out there. I love Stacey Dooley. I love the fact that she did that documentary about the fast fashion. And
to put the link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, and that's a really good thing for, I think, for mums to sit down with their girls, boys, and watch it.
If we're going to be exposed to the Kardashians' wardrobe, let's expose ourselves to the reality of how it's landfill, all, fast fashion and all that.
Definitely. I think people would be really shocked. Mm. I feel like landfills are like a myth. Like, where are they? Do we know where our rubbish goes? Do we? You know, I think people would be recycling more and wasting less if they knew.
Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. That's, our time together is drawing to an end, so I want to ask you a couple of things, practical things that perhaps listeners can come away with. The first thing is, what room, if it is a room, it might be an area of your life. What room or area of your life would you start with first if somebody says, right, do you know what? I've listened to Nicola on this podcast. I'm gonna take some things in hand.
Okay.
Where's the best place to start?
The best place, I would say, is the porch, your front area, you know, so you're sorry, that sounds really rude, doesn't it? Gosh, I always have to be careful when I say that. So
should be
the entrance
anyway.
Door. So yeah, you're, as you walk in, if you have a porch, if you have a cloak area, whatever it may be,
the hallway
as you walk in, if that is clear, then your mental health and your mental state of mind will be so much better for it. Because I know for when I walk into my porch area and there's shoes, bags and coats, I'm like, what's the rest of the house going to be like?
Right.
You know? Yeah. So if you can keep on top of that, that's the first area. It'll always make you smile.
Mm.
So just find, get the, some of the stuff out of there or contain them. Put your shoes in big containers, nice baskets.
Mm.
So the family know that they can just get thrown into there. It's making life easier for you and them. The coats, yeah, if the coats belong in that area, then so be it. But keep like one or two coats per person, not 12, 25. And find another place to store the bulkier coats when you're not using them. I tend to kind of get all our coats out of that hallway entrance because, yeah, I, for me, I like it for like guests. If they come over, they can put their coats there and the coats can live somewhere else.
Yeah.
So that's the first step, I would say. Obviously, the making the bed first thing in the morning is a really, really good tip. I think just sort of small steps, really. I think like in your front room is whenever I declutter and organise a space, I always, first of all, I walk around and think what doesn't belong in here and I remove it. So it's like... Everything gets put on the bottom of the stairs and we've all kind of got that scenario where we all walk past the stairs. No one takes nothing out, do they? So, yeah, so walk around like your front room or your dining room and if there's things in there that don't belong, get them out of that space and put them in one central space that you can then deal with and go, right, well, that's got to go, I don't know, in the shed, that's got to go in the garage, that's got to go up in the bedroom. And then soon... Without even, I guess, organising, you've got a tidy space. You've got your room back. So I guess they would be the tips that I do.
Good places to start. And what if you are trying to be more organised? You've implemented some of the strategies. And obviously, I will put the links to your social media channels on this because the challenge is actually really brilliant.
It is. It's
and
just really good.
Step by step. And that is every day throughout January.
So it's the Declutter Challenge, 31 days. And each day there's been a task, small task. Although yesterday was pretty big, but I did speak on the stories to say that if you find this particular task overwhelming, settle with a drawer. You know, sort out maybe a drawer of where your T-shirts are. Just one step, because it is one of those tasks that it can be a bit overwhelming.
That was wardrobe, wasn't it?
Yeah. So today is bedside drawers.
I recently did mine and it's game changer.
It is.
Game changer.
It really is. It's like, you know, when you go on holiday and you walk into that space in a hotel room, you're like, oh, this is so nice.
Yeah.
Well, your bedroom could be like that.
Yeah.
There's no excuses of why it can't be. But when you get into your bed and you sit there, you think, right, I need this, this and this. You don't really need too much beside your bedside table. And I kind of think I'd like to look at things that make me smile. I've got my Neil's Yard. I've got like a fake flower thing, a little trinket for my jewellery, and that's it. You know, some people have frames. Some people have a book and, you know, whatever, nice lamp. It's about what fits in with your styling and your home life, really. But yeah, the declutter challenge, there's obviously a few more days left to go. And yeah, I think it's going down
great.
Well.
I'm following it. But if so, someone's doing this or they're coming into the challenge and then maybe a few weeks down the line or a few months down the line, they think, actually, I'm probably slipping into some old habits here. Is there anything that you would suggest? Like, what's a fail safe for sustaining or getting yourself back on track?
I think with any kind of process you put in place, it always needs to be reviewed. Like, I review mine. I wouldn't, you know, again, I'm human being, so I can't
give yourself
just
an appraisal.
Yeah, exactly. So if you do something like, for example, a fridge, I do my fridge every couple of weeks, just because I know you could do it every week or whatever, really, but I know that everything that goes in there is kind of going to expire within 2 weeks, really. Yeah. So it's a kind of review. So just keep on. That's your only way of, I guess, setting a goal for if you want to maintain that space looking the way it is. You've got to obviously keep up with the maintenance of it. So it doesn't take long. I think once you've initially done the main work, it's just like little bits. So like a fridge for me, you know, just empty it all out, give it a wipe over and clean, and then put back what is, that's not, you know, what is fresh, still in date. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh God, I need to go shopping. It's quite shocking, really. But that's another thing I want to explore more is expiry dates. Like how, you know, we get the dates, but are, you know.
Yeah.
Is it really true?
Yeah, no, I feel exactly the same way about
it. Because obviously when I go through spices, a lot of my clients go, oh, it'd be all right. You know, it's like 2 years out of date. And I'm like, do you know what? I'm kind of with you because it's dried. But then is it? Is it going to taste nice? I don't know. So, yeah, I'd like to explore that more and find out.
And you do write brilliant articles on the website as well. It's not just it's not just a place where you can find out.
When I've got time.
Yes.
Yeah, at the moment, this month has been pretty bonkers.
Well, maybe cut yourself some slack. You're doing really massive work on social.
Yeah, in February, I'm definitely taking myself off somewhere and going to just sort of plan the rest of the year ahead. But this January, I just didn't realise this challenge has just been super, super successful, and it's helping so many, and it's really made me proud. So, yeah, it's a good feeling.
I'm really enjoying following along, and also just from my own personal experience, by accident with 26 Habits, organising and decluttering for me personally has made me much happier.
Oh, that's so good to hear. And I think it will. I think, you know, we're going into this trend now. It's clashed as a trend, isn't it? But I just think it's now going to be like a new lifestyle movement. And it's very exciting to be a part of it, really.
And I feel very, very honoured that you've given me your time. I know you're hugely busy this month to actually sit down and actually to listen to an expert who not only has really sage advice and is a brilliant resource for anyone who wants to organise and declutter, but who's also taken something like redundancy and turned it into something so unbelievably inspiring. So thank you so much.
You're welcome, Nicola. Thank you so much.
Yay. Before you leave, I just wanted to say a huge thank you for downloading, listening to, streaming this episode of the podcast. If you would like to get in touch, I'd be so delighted to hear from you. Just email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com or slide into my DMs on Instagram and Twitter, where I am at Emma Guns.
Also, you could join the private Facebook group, which is where we have lots of lovely conversations with listeners of the show, whether that's about 26 Habits, the episodes that has aired that week, or many, many other things. Click the link in the show notes and you can join too. Thank you again, and I'll see you on the next one.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.